This is a CKTZ News Update. Brian Hayden has published numerous academic books and papers in the fields of anthropology and archaeology. He's a research associate in the Department of Anthropology at the University of British Columbia and professor emeritus of archaeology at Simon Fraser University. The Eyes of the Leopard is his first venture into novel writing. His excavations all over the world, exploring ancient cultures and secret societies, informed the book.
So there are two things. One is I've always tried to recreate some of the culture, the environment, and the activities in my archaeological excavations. I've always added a little chapter at the end, a reconstruction of what life was like back then, a little historical fiction. And so this is a development of that. And I've always really enjoyed basically children's books. I like their simplicity and a lot of the creativity that goes into those kinds of endeavors. And so I thought I'd combine those interests and try to produce something that was accessible and interesting for a large number of people out there that are not archaeologists.
So I understand, though, that while The Eyes of the Leopard is aimed at young readers, it would be enjoyed by anyone.
It's not just for teens, that's for sure. A lot of adults that have read it have really enjoyed it and commented on it.
Great. Let's get into the book itself. What is the set the scene for us, Brian?
It's 20,000 years ago in the middle of the Ice Age in southwestern France. And that was a kind of a refugium for animals and a lot of plants in the valley bottoms and places like that. And so it was real a concentration of animal types that are very different from today. You have woolly mammoths and woolly rhinoceroses and hyenas and lions and, of course, leopards and bison and all sorts of things in there that just don't exist there today. And a lot of the area was grassland, so that would provide a lot of food for the herbivores. Yeah, and we're dealing with a time before there was any agriculture, and much of my career has been devoted to working with hunting and gathering societies in Australia or here in British Columbia. So it's a very different environment.
So give us a brief synopsis, if you would, of the sort of plot line and who the central character is.
Okay. The central character is named Sev. He's about 13 years old, and he's just come into this new community from being undergoing a period of starvation in their own original community. His family moved to this area of southwestern France because there was more food there. And he gets into a little bit of one-upmanship with his friends, trying to make fun of him. And so he's out to prove himself, and he gets himself into a dare to go into one of the sacred caves of the area, which is off-limits for basically anybody who's not part of the Lion Society. And he tries to hide his traces, but things go awry, and the rest of the story deals with him trying to get out of trouble and try to maintain his position in the society, and gets himself into a number of really interesting situations.
I imagine that probably for readers, your discovery and work with the sacred caves in southern France there would help to form a lot of the atmosphere.
Yes, indeed. It doesn't really come out until later in the book, but there's a short introduction to that at the beginning. But yes, I've conducted research in the painted caves in southwestern France, and that's a key feature of this time period, is those caves. And archaeologists always argue and wonder about why people went so deeply into these caves and why they made these incredible paintings and engravings inside them. I've been studying secret societies for quite some time now and have a book out on it, a more technical book. But yeah, I'm pretty convinced that the secret societies or something like that were responsible for a lot of the paintings and rituals that took place inside those caves.
At the risk of digressing slightly, Brian, into your academic work, but I know there's still a lot of debate about the meaning of the images and so forth, and as you say, why they were so hidden away. Have you reached any conclusions yourself on that?
Yes. From the work that I've done on secret societies, one of the features of those is that they do have rituals in hidden secret locations. And a lot of the imagery that they use are always of power animals. So they're not the animals that are usually hunted, but there are things like lions and bison, mammoths and things like that. And that's exactly what you find in those caves, is a lot of these power animals, whereas people have always wondered, why are they choosing these animals to paint and not the kinds of animals that they usually hunt? And that's always been a conundrum, a problem, sort of a mystery for a lot of archaeologists. But it makes perfect sense to me in terms of secret societies and the rest of the aspects of society that we know existed then, and that fit right into the context of secret societies.
Aha, fascinating.
Yeah, now, gets into very complicated arguments about numbers, number systems and dogs and all sorts of other features that you might not think about very much these days, but they are developments in the past and they occur right at this time period.
Interesting. Thank you for that, Brian. Now, just getting back to the book,
yes,
what do you hope that readers take away from?
Certainly an idea of what life was like 20,000 years ago in southwestern France, but also I wanted to bring up some of the questions that people have always asked themselves, whether spirits really exist or not, and the kinds of claims that are often made by cults or institutionalized religions about the supernatural. And I wanted to make a distinction between sort of personal experiences versus the kinds of charades that have been documented in the past, whether they're saints' relics that were manufactured or whatever it happens to be. But yeah, and also the kind of resilience that is really needed to overcome adversity and creative kinds of approaches to problematical situations. And one of the aspects of fairy tales that I always liked was that there's a connection with nature and that there is some sort of a relationship, and that if you're pure of heart and if you are a good person, basically, and you're in trouble and you cry out for help, that nature sometimes comes along and gives you a little help by chance or whatever. But at any rate, it's a theme in fairy tales that I always liked.
So it sounds like even a portrayal of ancient times has lessons that are applicable to contemporary life.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the other things I wanted to emphasize in this book is that they were living in a society very much like ours, with the same kind of dynamics between individuals and competition and power and lies and misrepresentations of facts and things like that. So that didn't start recently. That goes way, way back. And it starts basically in this time period of prehistory, I think.
Yeah, the old adage that the more things change, the more they stay the same.
That's right. That's right.
Brian, one final question, and that is just, how can we get our hands on this book?
If you're on Cortez Island, you can stop by at Marnie's, or I think there are a few copies in the museum and at Holly. And if you see me on the street, I've got copies. But it can also be ordered on Amazon or through any of the main bookstores. Indigo Chapters has copies if you're near one of those bookstores. Or you can write to the publisher if you want online and find out where you can get it close to you. Just would like to add that it's been very well reviewed and very well received by readers of all ages, and even by archaeologists in France. I expected to be criticized a lot, but no, they were very supportive. They liked it.
Hayden hopes The Eyes of the Leopard leaves readers with a keen interest in archaeology and the prehistoric past. Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.